James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. I hear pages turning. You have your place?
Yeah.
Oh, let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Let's pray. Father, today we begin a new series on our tongue, taming the tongue. And Father, I believe every person that calls themselves a Christian could probably learn a little bit from this. And maybe some of us, Lord, need to learn a little bit more than others. But we leave it up to your Holy Spirit, Lord, to convict us. We leave it up to your Holy Spirit to change us. In whatever way we need to change, that we can change our words from being words that we shouldn't be saying to words that we should. So we just trust you in this, Lord. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, today we're going to begin a short sermon series, I believe it's going to be about 3 weeks, called Taming the Tongue. The title was pretty self-explanatory. We're going to be talking about this, and we all have one of these, don't we? What can this do? Or maybe a better question is this, what has this done? Do we engage our brain before we put this into gear? What positive things can this do? What negative things can this also do? Well, in these 12 verses from the book of James that we just read, the author, James, uses the word tongue 4 times. The word tongue is the Greek word glossa, some may say glossa, which means the tongue, a part of the body, or it can mean a language, such as we see in the book of Acts, speaking in tongues, speaking in other languages. In the first century Roman Empire, pretty much the only form of communication was the spoken word, what people would speak, what came out of the tongue. Very few people at that time had the ability to read and write, so other forms of communication were virtually non-existent. So when the Bible speaks of the tongue, specifically here, it's more than likely and primarily referring to the spoken word, the things that come out of our mouths. In Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45, Jesus says this: "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars." Here's where it gets interesting. "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil things stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." And those are the words of Jesus. So he says this: the mouth is going to speak what the heart is full of. So what's the next obvious question? What's in our hearts? What is our heart full of? And that's where we're going to go here today. Jesus answers that by saying this in chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves can break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Then he concludes that short passage by saying this: "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So let's kind of put those verses together, make an equation out of this thing, and it would say something like this: our tongues, our words, reflect the treasures of our hearts. Next obvious question: what are our treasures? I know what my treasures are, and you know what your treasures are. And when we speak, we share those treasures with other people, whatever those treasures may be. But here we are in 21st century America, and our words are no longer restricted to what comes out of our mouths, the spoken word. Today, most people, certainly in America, can read and write. So now we have those ways of communicating also. A person can write a book, or they can read a magazine, or they can do those kinds of things, and they can share their thoughts and opinions. In other words, they're sharing the treasures of their hearts. But today we have this thing called the internet. Oh my goodness, the internet. And something called social media. Now we have the ability of sharing the treasures of our hearts via email and Facebook and Instagram and text messaging and Twitter and instant message and other forms of what we call electronic communication. So today, in today's 21st century American world, we must include all these types of forms of communication when we speak about the tongue and how we need to control it, because this is no longer the only form of communication that we have. I remember a children's lesson many years ago in a church that I was attending. And I was sitting out there, and every Sunday the pastor would call all the children up, and he would sit, there were steps going up to the pulpit, and he would sit on the steps and all the little children would sit around him, and they'd give like about a 30-second children's message. And one day he said this: he had all these kids, and he had this tube, a brand new tube of toothpaste. And he opened up the tube of toothpaste, and he starts squeezing it, and all the toothpaste start coming out. And of course, he had a napkin there that was getting all the toothpaste. And he told the kids this: this toothpaste is like the words that you speak. Once you speak them, he kept on squeezing, you can't get it back in the tube again. I got more out of that sermon than the kids did, I'm sure. Are we careful about the treasures that are in our heart and sharing those treasures with other people? Are we careful before we do this, or before we hit that send button, or before we are on Facebook and say, post that out into the world? Let's go to our first fill in the blank. We have three kind of very simple ones here this morning. And let's begin by unfolding what James, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has to say on this topic of taming our tongue, or it's probably better, taming our communication skills, because that really covers everything. But when I say tongue, I'm talking about all these different methods of communication. Our first fill in the blank would say this: our tongue sets a direction in our lives. That's what the word says. It sets a direction in our lives. James first compares the tongue to a bit which goes into a horse's mouth to control the direction of the horse. And he says this: it's just a small little piece that goes into the horse's mouth, but it can direct the entire body of the horse. He also gives a second analogy, and he says this, and he compares the tongue to a rudder of a ship. The rudder of a ship is just a small little piece on that ship, but it has the ability of directing this large, very large ship. I still remember hearing stories about, there's something that I find very fascinating about the story of the Titanic that sank back in 1912. And they said this: there was a good possibility, had the rudder been larger on that boat, that it may have missed the iceberg altogether. But there you go. You have a small piece of a boat controlling this very large ship. So often we think that there are certain events that happen in our lives that have changed the course of our lives, and that would be so, very important events, some within our control, many without, out of our control. But have we ever thought about something as small as this, our words, how much of a direction this has set in our lives? Here's an example of something that I've seen in the news quite often here recently. There's a lady by the name of Kathy Griffin. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about or not. I wonder if she regrets something that she communicated a couple months ago, holding the severed head of Donald Trump that was all bloody. I don't know if you saw or heard about that, and there she is, and she's supposed to be funny doing this. Did you know now that she claims that she is on a kill list in the entertainment industry, and they're shunning her, and she can't find work anymore? Her life has been forever changed because that bit and that rudder of hers has forever set a direction in her life. How many things do we wish we could get back into that tube of toothpaste? In James chapter 3, verse 6, the word says that our tongue not only sets the course of our life, it says it has the potential for defiling our entire body if it's used in a negative way. And in today's world of global communication, what I write on Facebook, I don't know how many of you are Facebook users, but what I write on Facebook isn't just read by, Cheryl Campbell's reading that, or I know Daryl's reading that. When I put on Facebook, the whole world sees what I put on Facebook. The whole world knows my thoughts and my opinions about a certain subject, whatever that may be. Speaking of Facebook, here's something you may not know. If you've been like me, sometimes you'll read an article, whatever it might be, religious, political, or otherwise, and you just want to get in there and you want to give your opinion. Here we go. And you write it all out. Oh, the words are just flowing. And you're ready to hit that post key, and you just say, I better not. So you hit the delete key and you go back and it's better if I just don't say this. I know I've done that many times. Did you know that Facebook records every keystroke you ever make? So all those words that you write, that you deleted, it still knows all those words that you wrote and never hit post. It keeps every word that you've ever said. Something you just might want to keep in the back of your mind before you become like me and get all irate and say whatever it is that you want to say, and you say, maybe it's best if I don't. Sure, the world might not ever see that. Oh, but those people at Facebook know exactly what you've been typing. Just might want to be careful about that, especially for people like us who hold a biblical and conservative view. What you say may or will be held against you later on in a court of law. It's interesting that verse 1 of chapter 3 begins by saying that not many of you should become teachers, knowing that teachers will incur stricter judgment. In this text, James is certainly talking about a teacher or a preacher of the Word of God. So the question that I believe James is asking, that I will ask, that we all should ask, is this: what are teachers teaching? And what are preachers preaching? Are they teaching and preaching what they want to say? Is that what's coming out of their mouths? Or what they believe to be true? Or has the proper research been done to uncover all the great truths in the Word of God? What is this tongue of theirs and of mine, as your preacher, what is that conveying to that person's congregation? What are we conveying to the world? And James is saying this: hey, those of you who are up in front of other people, you better be careful what you are saying about the Word of God. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people that are listed in the Bible. And we can go back and read all the stuff that they say. Here's just a few examples. Jonah, we remember him, he had words of disobedience. Mary had words of obedience. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, had words of disbelief. The woman at the well had words of belief. Job's friends had words of condemnation. The two scoundrels at the father of the prodigal son had words of forgiveness. The two scoundrels at the table with Naboth had words of false witness. Jeremiah, even in terrible times, had words of truth. Joseph's brothers had words of death. And Jesus Christ has words of life. And we can read them all right here in this book. Maybe the good news is we're probably no different than any of these other people that we read about day in and day out right here in our Bible. If the Bible was still being written, I wonder what words that we have said would be put down for others to read. It appears that a variety of emotions can come from our words that we say. Proverbs 21:23 says this. This is interesting. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. Have you ever, I'll be the first one to raise my hand, have you ever instantly responded to a situation with certain words that produced unfavorable results? And you just wish you would have had more time to react and said things that would have been a little more appropriate. Of course you've never done that, have you? No, you haven't. You know, so-and-so says something, they get you stirred up, and they get you stirred up, and they get you stirred up. And all of a sudden, you go from 0 to 60, and here it comes. Boom! It's right out of your mouth. I believe we've all done that. It's the toothpaste. You can't get it back in the tube. It's out there. So what is our fill-in-the-blank number 2, according to Proverbs 21:23? It very simply says we need to guard our mouths. We need to guard our mouths. I said earlier, do we engage our brain before we open our mouth? And maybe that's how we guard our mouth. So exactly how do we do that? Let's get a biblical reference. How do we guard our mouth? How do we guard these communication things that we have, you know, Facebook, social media, all the things that we read and write and things like that, and when we talk to other people? Proverbs 3, 21 and 22 says this, "My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament of to grace your neck." So our third and final fill in the blank would say this. We guard our mouths by seeking and acquiring wisdom. The big W word, wisdom, W-I-S-D-O-M, wisdom. We need wisdom. How often do we pray for wisdom? Maybe if we had more wisdom, we'd pray for wisdom more often, wouldn't we? Maybe that's the way that works. But the Bible says this, when we have wisdom, we have sound judgment and discretion. And when we have sound judgment and discretion, we will be more careful with our words. And we must remember, our words, our tongue, will set a direction in our lives. And if we don't control our tongues in a wise way, our tongues will control us. If we understood that the words that we speak through whatever media that may be, if we really understood that, you know, the next thing that I'm going to say sets a direction in my life, wouldn't we be more careful about the words that we speak? In other words, what I say today, here's what I need to think of. What I say today can or will that help me or hurt me tomorrow or next week or for the remainder of my life, within my marriage, within my family, within my church, within my work environment, within my community? Are we careful? And how about this one? How often have our words helped set a direction in somebody else's life? Either positive or negative. Our words can have a very powerful influence in the lives of others. Proverbs 18:21 says this, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." All the words that we speak, all the social media, all of our means of communication, whatever that may be, at some point in time, we are going to reap the fruit of what we said and how we communicate. Either we will reap the rewards, life, or we will reap consequences, the death. And the best example I can find in the Bible for words of life that we can have is found in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says this, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead," there's the treasure, "you will be saved." Aren't those great words? Those are great words. So the simple question is this, have you confessed with your mouth and your tongue? Have you said it verbally that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life? I certainly hope you have. I know for me, it's the best words that I ever spoke. Probably the best words you ever spoke. Words that will take us into eternity, won't they? Jesus says this in Matthew 12, 35 through 37. "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. What we speak, what we write, what we type, everything that we communicate someday is going to be judged. And we're either going to be acquitted by the words that we speak and communicate, or we're going to be condemned by those words. Speak wisely. Our tongues, our words reveal our true character and our true belief. Even if it's in a moment of extreme happiness, or if it's in a moment of total frustration. And that's usually where we get into trouble. Our words are a testimony of our deepest treasures. You know, we've all seen the Capital One commercial. Capital One asks this, "What's in your wallet?" You know what God's asking? "What's in your heart?" Because what's in our heart someday is going to spill out right here. It's either going to acquit us or it's going to condemn us. Either it's going to be one of the most edifying things that we can say and do for our brothers and sisters, or this is going to get us in a whole heap of trouble. Have you ever been there? I have. Next week, we're going to talk about the negative effects of this, and then the week after, the positive things that this could do. So we'll go into the bad stuff first. We'll end with the good stuff in week number 3. But this will set a direction in our lives. Let's make sure we're going in the right direction. Let's pray.